David, please tell us how Solution Nation began.
Solution Nation began with the development and publication of the sixth of my seven books, which is titled Solution Nation. The subtitle of that book is One Nation is Disproportionately Responding to the World's Most Intractable Problems. Much of the motivation for me writing Solution Nation was that I wanted to demonstrate how Israeli ingenuity is directed towards eradicating death and mitigating suffering in much of the world. So not only did each Israeli company that I wrote about have very intriguing technology, but these technologies were designed to detect, prevent, and reverse diseases, to squash starvation, to defeat drought, to rescue people at risk of dying in fires, to prevent auto accidents, and much more.
That's interesting. So tell us about the structure of your book, The Solution Nation.
The presentation of Solution Nation is different from most books. Each chapter consists of a profile of an Israeli company. In total, there are 62 company profiles contained in the book. These chapters are similar to Wall Street Researchers company reports. There are three parts to each of the 62 company profiles. The first section elaborates on the critical problem that needs to be addressed. The second part discusses the solution to the critical problem that the Israeli company is addressing. And the third section of each chapter consists of questions that investors or strategic partners may want to pose to the management team before proceeding. These questions are not only relevant to the specific featured company, but are also appropriate to ask other companies in the given industry. The questions presented in the book were fair and meant to reveal the investment merits of the company at hand. I must say that I'm very proud that there is no puffery in Solution Nation. The book is 367 pages, and I think readers would be hard-pressed to find even one sentence that resembles puffery.
And tell us, how did you choose which companies to profile in your book?
We requested nominations from Israeli venture capitalists, investment bankers, money managers, corporate and patent lawyers, accountants, people from incubators and accelerators. We built a website to capture and organize all of these nominations. We also performed our own due diligence and contacted some Israeli companies directly.
Tell us about a couple of interesting companies that were covered in your book, Solution Nation.
Sure, I'd be happy to. One of the featured Israeli companies transforms dialyzers into water purification devices. Every year in the United States alone, over 50 million dialyzers are disposed of. But each one of these dialyzers must first be decontaminated, which is a long and expensive process. With a few tweaks, one of the companies in my book turns spent dialyzers into devices that inexpensively purify polluted water in rivers and lakes. Deployments of this revised device have already happened in places ranging from Ecuador to Cambodia and from Ethiopia to the Fiji Islands. On another note, one Israeli company established the world's first commercial grasshopper farm. Why does this matter? Because about a billion people rely on grasshoppers as a source of nutrition. This company knows how to increase output by ramping up the grasshopper's breeding cycle. For instance, the company's proprietary incubation process has accelerated the grasshopper egg hatching period from 40 weeks to just 2 weeks. Another company has invented an all-terrain vehicle that doubles as a water purification machine. The vehicle can be dropped by parachute from helicopters or delivered by raft into a difficult-to-reach area affected by floods, hurricanes, or typhoons. One reason the vehicle is so light is that the same engine is used to power the vehicle and to purify the water. The vehicle can travel 2,500 kilometers or can purify water for 100 hours without refueling. It can produce 100,000 liters of water per day, which is enough to provide 20,000 people with water for 1 day. Finally, another company is attacking mosquito-borne illnesses, which cause about 1 million deaths per year. Female mosquitoes are incentivized to bite as many people as possible since they depend on protein from blood to reproduce. Since female mosquitoes only mate once, one solution is to have them mate with sterile male mosquitoes. One Israeli company featured in Solution Nation packs millions of male mosquitoes, sterilized male mosquitoes, onto airplanes and releases them as the planes fly over mosquito-infected areas.
Tell us about your effort you made to publish the book.
A lot of effort went into doing the research behind Solution Nation, writing the company profiles, and publishing the book. In 2017, I made 3 trips to Israel to meet with companies and venture capitalists and others that were nominating companies for us to review. I spent much of the summer of 2017 in Israel. I conducted interviews with almost every single management team, live interviews with every management team that I featured in the book. On a typical day, I would meet with 3 management teams. I would spend between 1 hour and 2.5 hours with each management team, asking them questions, getting information about the problems that they were addressing and the technological solutions they were introducing into the market, and understanding how far along the company was in the commercialization process. So I spent about 1 year of my career devoted to the process of publishing Solution Nation. I did have some help. I had a lady that helped organize the interviews and do proofreading. I had another gentleman that was also proofreading my narrative, and they helped me with the promotion of the book. I self-published the book, undertook all the marketing efforts myself. So I spent about 1 year and the equivalent of $250,000 if you factor in all the time that I spent in the process of producing Solution Nation.
Was your family supportive of this effort?
Yes, my family was very supportive of this effort. My wife, of course, was very supportive and very helpful throughout the process. My father, who was a surgeon for many years, was also very helpful in helping me understand and vet the pharmaceutical and medical device companies that we featured in the book. I enjoyed telling my kids about the different technologies that I was learning about. For instance, when I was researching the grasshopper farming company, I could tell my kids fun facts such as grasshoppers are the only kosher and halal compliant insect. Also, I told my children about the important work one company was doing in terms of producing photovoltaic wallpaper rolls, largely for the African market. These solar sheets convert sunlight into electricity and are light enough to hang on African dwellings. I explained to my kids the importance of safely providing electricity to Africa. Unfortunately, many millions of Africans take measures that endanger their families. About half of African households rely on kerosene lamps for lighting. Because the light emitted by kerosene is dull and tends to flicker, people sit close to kerosene lamps. This increases the risk of knocking over the lamps, which can easily start fires because kerosene is highly explosive. Sitting too close to kerosene lamps increases exposure to kerosene's noxious fumes. A few hours in the company of kerosene lamps is equivalent to smoking 40 cigarettes. Since kerosene is a clear liquid and is often sold in translucent plastic bottles, many African children mistake it for water. To top it off, kerosene is obscenely expensive in Africa, causing Africans to spend at least 10% of their income on fuel. So this is an example of some interesting issues that I learned about when I was writing the book, and interesting that one of these Israeli companies is producing very inexpensive, very light photovoltaic wallpaper rolls that can serve the African market.
Let's shift gears and tell us about the Solution Nation website relaunch.
The first Solution Nation website basically served to market the Solution Nation book. In marketing Solution Nation, I learned that there is a market for people who want to invest in Israeli companies. So our new website serves as a platform to connect Israeli companies to investors, strategic partners, and potential customers from around the world. The idea is for Solution Nation to be a one-stop shop for learning about Israeli companies.
How can Israeli companies use the Solution Nation website to communicate with investors?
Each approved Israeli company will have its own web page on our website. On their individual pages, Israeli companies can provide basic information such as the names of the senior management team, year founded, who their investors and auditors are, and can point to their URL. each company also has a "in the CEO's own words" section. Here, the CEO can discuss the corporate mission, proudest accomplishments, upcoming milestones, geographic market served, growth drivers, growth headwinds, scalability issues, research efforts, patent portfolio, and much more. Companies can also place their Solution Nation podcasts, company profiles, and valuation reports, etc., on their pages. Companies can direct viewers to their press releases. Publicly traded Israeli companies can link to their Yahoo Finance pages as well as to their SEC filings.
Solution Nation has already built up a robust library of educational podcasts, so please tell us about that.
We're very proud that we built up what I think is the world's best library of programs that discuss considerations for investing in Israeli companies. We have developed podcasts on topics on issues such as investing in Israeli genomics companies, investing in Israeli cybersecurity companies, investing in Israeli insurtech companies, investing in Israeli digital healthcare companies, investing in Israeli consumer-focused companies, investing in Israeli industrial IoT companies, investing in Israeli B2C companies, investing in Israeli enterprise software companies, investing in medical companies, investing in software as a service companies. So we've done a lot of webcasts on the theme of investing in various sectors of the Israeli economy. Another variety of podcasts that we have completed deals with the global Israeli innovation ecosystem. So we have podcasts on topics such as the Israeli United Arab Emirates innovation ecosystem, the Israeli Czechia innovation system, the Israeli Vietnamese economic ecosystem. We also have other podcasts on a variety of topics that range from valuing patents to conducting due diligence into Israeli companies, and from funding Israeli philanthropies with high-tech options to risks in emerging company investing. We even conducted a very interesting podcast with a very fine Israeli professor who discussed Elon Musk's possible acquisition of Twitter.
What would happen if a podcast guest really wasn't conveying anything of value?
We try to make sure that consumers of our products, whether podcasts or reports, learn something when interacting with our content. Our mantra to our customers is that if you invest your time consuming our products, you will make a return on your time in terms of learning something. Unfortunately, we have conducted podcasts that we decided not to broadcast because we don't think the listener would learn anything. These are not decisions that we take lightly. We don't like shelving podcasts. We certainly do not like wasting time, whether it's our time or that of our guests. We try to prevent these scenarios by sending podcast invitees a memo that states that we expect guests to impart a high level of knowledge and insight. But sometimes it is necessary to refrain from publishing a podcast so as to prevent listeners from wasting their time. However, this issue is very, very rare. Most of our speakers are very well prepared and do impart lots of great insights.
So, David, tell us, when are the best times for Israeli companies to participate in podcasts or have company profiles written?
That's really a decision for each Israeli company to make. Some management teams might want to participate in a podcast or have us write a company profile early in order to introduce themselves to the Solution Nation community. Other companies might want to wait to run a podcast or issue a company profile until they have breaking news to announce. Such news could be a change in management, a product release, the issuance of a patent, a joint venture, a new distributor, a capital raise, receiving regulatory approval, collaboration with the university, etc.
You mentioned, David, that the Solution Nation prepares company profiles. So how would you deal with a situation in which a client insisted that you significantly raise their valuation?
First, it is important to point out that Solution Nation is a small company and there is an enormous flow of great Israeli companies. So we don't have infinite capacity to take on new clients. Our limited bandwidth forces us to be selective in the clients that we do take on. If a prospective client conditioned an engagement on our willingness to misrepresent or exaggerate the facts, we would decline to take on such company as a client. You asked about valuation in the context of us preparing company profiles. The company profiles are usually 4 to 6 pages and do not arrive at conclusions of valuation. Our valuation reports, on the other hand, are much larger in scope, often running more than 100 pages. So there wouldn't be pressure on us to come to a different valuation conclusion when preparing a company profile. However, there are several ways that we avoid being pressured into publishing exaggerated valuations when we do write company or patent valuation reports. First, we collect half of our retainer up front. And then about halfway through the project, we have a call with the client. We tell the client what our valuation number is. If the client is on board with that number, we complete the report and the client pays the second half of the retainer. It is very rare for a client to radically disagree with our valuation conclusion. But if a client were to radically disagree with our number, we would agree to suspend the engagement, which is fair to both parties. We would keep the initial retainer because we did half of the work, and the client saves the second half of the retainer and doesn't have to receive a report with a valuation that it strenuously disagrees with. I did have a situation about 2 years ago with a client in Taiwan. The gentleman struck me as very polished and very classy. Every time I spoke with him, he had Brahms or Bach or Mozart playing in the background. He seemed to be a real gentleman. I worked very hard on this valuation for about 3 months. I was in touch with him at least once a week. I discussed my preliminary numbers, modeling, assumptions, comparables, etc., with him multiple times. When I submitted my report, he told me that he wouldn't pay me unless I resubmitted the report with a dramatically higher number. I told him that was not going to happen, both the not paying part and the exaggerated valuation part. What happened was that I gave him all of my Excel and Word files and told him he could use those files in any way he wished, as long as my firm and I were not associated with the publication of the report. So he ended up paying us and hired someone else to publish the report with their name attached to it. These kinds of situations are extremely rare, but they can be dealt with in a manner in which our reputation remains intact and the client is happy, although perhaps misguided.
So you mentioned that Solution Nation provides Israeli companies with dedicated web pages, podcasts, and written company profiles. So how do these services compare with hiring investor relations firms?
And we work with many of them. However, investor relations firms are not always appropriate for every company at all times. Investor relations firms are expensive. A good investor relations firm will charge $10,000 a month at least, and will insist a 3-month minimum engagement. And there's no certainty that the company is going to receive media coverage within those first few months. Or maybe they'll receive media coverage, but that media coverage may be unwanted because it's not complimentary. So through our podcasts and reports, we offer companies a much less expensive alternative or supplement to using IR firms. And we offer the companies the ability to communicate their stories to the worldwide investment community at a lower cost and with a higher certainty of coming up with a tangible product in a short period of time.
Solution Nation is now seeking nominations for its first 40 Israeli companies program. And what is that about, David?
We are investing several months in an attempt to uncover 40 amazing Israeli companies. We encourage people to nominate disruptive companies for consideration. The process of seeking nominations for the first 40 list largely parallels the nomination process that we implemented when we sought candidates for my book. So I won't go into all the steps that I mentioned before. Among the selection criteria that we're using to choose the first 40 Israeli companies are as follows. We're considering the stature and relevance of the person that made the nomination, considering the size of the addressable market and the intensity of the competition for market share. We're looking at the background and success of the management team. We're looking for evidence of the company having achieved some traction, considering the quality of the board, its advisors, its investors, partners, and customers. We're looking at the uniqueness of the product offering and the use of intellectual property to protect the uniqueness of the offerings, considering the capital adequacy so that the company can achieve its goals. We're looking at sound business plans and other issues that our small group of research analysts may wish to consider.
What is the benefit of being named a Solution Nation First 40 company?
I think the First 40 companies will be flattered for being designated an exceptional company, especially considering that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of extremely promising Israeli companies. We think there will be quite a bit of cachet of being named a First 40 Israeli company in view of the rigor that was undertaken to vet the nominated companies over some 5 months. Each of the First 40 companies will be invited to record a 5-minute introduction to their companies. These 40 segments will be collated into one greatest hits or the best of 2022 style large podcast that will be marketed and listened to all over the world. We think investors and strategic partners will like the convenience of listening to 40 incredible companies on one podcast. Also, the First 40 Israeli companies will receive a special logo identifying their status as a First 40 company. They can place the First 40 logo on their websites, marketing materials, and on their email signatures.
David, tell us about the traffic that goes to the Solution Nation website.
My colleagues are probably better positioned to answer this question. The site has experienced a lot of growth, so the traffic patterns fluctuate. From what I gather, about 50% of the visitors are venture capitalists and angel investors, accredited investors, people that invest in private companies. About 30% are institutional investors from the likes of mutual funds, hedge funds, pension funds, and insurance companies, people that invest in public companies. About 10%, maybe 15% of corporate people, such as those that look after acquisitions, joint ventures, distribution agreements, and the like, visit our site. About 10% of our visitors are probably not investors, rather they are supporters of Israel. Of course, many of our visitors fit into more than one of the categories that I mentioned.
Interesting. I noticed that sometimes the stock tables on the homepage doesn't function very well. Why is that?
I'm pretty sure that the SolutionNation.info site is up and functioning almost 100% of the time. However, we have a subscription with a company that displays the stock graphics on the homepage. The subscription is based on traffic. When we have spikes in traffic, we exceed our thresholds. Sometimes it takes us a few hours to log into our account and upgrade our subscription. But this is very rare and shouldn't stop anyone from enjoying the content on the rest of the Solution Nation site.
David, how does Solution Nation make money?
Well, we haven't made any money yet, and we have no expectations of making a fortune from Solution Nation. That's really not our motivation. However, Solution Nation must be a sustainable business. Our unique platform provides an important service to Israeli companies and to the worldwide investment community. It is in everyone's interest that Solution Nation remains a healthy site. There are costs to running a business, and those costs must be covered. The Israeli companies that maintain web pages will pay a small initiation fee and a smaller monthly maintenance fee. When companies want us to produce a podcast with their management teams, or when they want us to profile their companies, there are fees for those services. It is important to note that there are no separate or higher fees for the First 40 Israeli company designees. The First 40 companies will pay the same low initiation and monthly maintenance fees as all of the other companies that maintain web pages on the Solution Nation site. I also want to point out that we are offering very low introductory rates on our dedicated company pages, podcasts, and company profiles, and other services through the rest of 2022. In 2023, our fees will revert closer to market rates. Certainly, no one would expect us to pay for the investor relations campaigns of all of Israel's companies. I already invested about $500,000 in Solution Nation's efforts, if you go back to the time of my working on the book. Also, it is worth pointing out that Solution Nation's website is very clean. We don't expect any banner ads or pop-up ads or anything distracting like that. We want to keep the website clean.
David, I know that Solution Nation offers quite a few services on the back end. What obligations do companies that maintain web pages on the Solution Nation site have to do with Solution Nation?
The Israeli companies that maintain web pages on Solution Nation don't have any further obligation to Solution Nation. And they're under no pressure, no obligation to work with us in different capacities. We also have no obligation to perform any other services for those companies that are taking web pages on our website. But we do offer a number of services, everything ranging from validating addressable markets sizes, reviewing companies' business plans, preparing business plans in some cases, preparing business model validation reports. I think I mentioned before that I've been very active in writing company valuation reports, patent valuation reports for many years. These types of reports are very, very thorough, easily over 100 pages in some cases. These reports are usually used to facilitate transactions such as capital raises, licensing agreements, patent sales, sales of companies. I'm active in patent monetization. I'm also an investment banker, and at my investment bank, where I'm a managing partner. I don't own it. I'm just a managing partner there. We represent sellers. We represent companies that are making acquisitions, do a bit of capital raising. But there's no obligation for a company that has a page on our website to interact with us in different capacities. And again, we have no obligation to perform other services for any particular companies either.
How can people become involved in the Solution Nation effort?
Our team has demonstrated its commitment to ensuring that Solution Nation will be successful in serving the Israeli community. Several Israeli venture capitalists, lawyers, and accountants have been extremely helpful in things like making nominations for our first 40 companies designation, as well as introducing us to other important people. Those who want to help advance the Solution Nation mission can listen to our podcast and read our company profiles. They can introduce the Solution Nation website to their friends and colleagues. People can read the book Solution Nation, which can be obtained from our website at solutionnation.info. We want to continue to grow our wonderful library of informative and educational podcasts. If you have an expertise, or if you know of someone with an expertise that would make sense for a Solution Nation podcast, please let us know. If you work for or have invested in an Israeli company, please make sure that your company claims its webpage on the Solution Nation site. Please fill out our form so that your company's page will be populated. Finally, we have very compelling packages for sponsors who wish to further support and integrate into the Israeli innovation community. We are greatly appreciative to our sponsors and patrons. You can contact us by going to the solutionnation.info site, and under the About Us tab, you will see that a contact form drops down.
Is there anything else that you would like to say?
Yes, we like our name, Solution Nation, very much. Other monikers for Israel, such as Scale Up Nation, are fine names, but they are limited to conveying the success of Israel's companies and are a bit self-congratulatory. Some of the solutions that Israel delivers to communities all over the globe are not only a function of its companies, but are attributable to government policy, philanthropic activity, and military maneuvers. Solution Nation is a beautiful name for Israel. It is very fitting and complementary to Israel. Solution Nation even rhymes. Similar to my mission for writing the book, the term Solution Nation conveys that Israel produces a disproportionate number of solutions to deadly maladies for the benefits of the entire world. the world is better off for the ingenuity that percolates inside Israel. If Israel were to become more widely known as the Solution Nation, that name itself could help neutralize anti-Israel propaganda, at least to a small extent. At least that's the way I see it.
David, I want to thank you for having me on your show today.
It was my pleasure.